Welcome to the DK UK podcast. My name is Daniel Kelly. DK UK is a hairdressing salon based in Peckham since 2014. Here in the salon, customers look at art instead of a mirror while they get their hair cut. This began as an art project and has grown into a successful business. The salon came about as a reaction to living in London, which is now a very expensive and overcrowded city, not leaving much space for artists to show their work outside of the commercial art world. I trained as a hairdresser before I went to art college, and after several years of trudging through the art world trying to make a living, I decided to combine the two areas of my life, art and hairdressing, and hey presto, haircuts in front of art. On the DK UK podcast, I will be chatting to a range of guests whilst giving them a haircut on the themes present in DK UK, such as how artists earn a living, public funding in the arts, and what sort of length do you want the fringe? I recommend listening to the podcast through headphones and hope you enjoy the chat. Any likes, shares, ratings, etc. would be greatly appreciated. And what was that? Here comes our client. Okay, better go. So, Puck, what would you like to do with your hair today then?
Well, let's see. It's a lot of hair now.
Yeah.
It's very puffy and very bushy, I might say. So I guess a little bit of the weight out of it would be really good.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of keep it long. It's the first time in years that I have long hair, so I'm trying to grow it as much as I can.
So it's been a long time since you had it cut, hasn't it?
Yeah, last time was when I was here, and it was about a centimeter long.
Really?
Yeah, it was that short, yeah.
Damn, my haircuts last a while, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, cool. So it's been a year. You want to grow it longer than
mm-hmm.
it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is layer around the midsection through the nape, through the sides, take all the weight out of that, and keep some of the length and softness. And through the top, where we want to grow more length, I'll just take the ends off and
yeah.
sort of cut into that. So you'll end up with two layers that sit on top of each other, so you'll have a nice texture.
Yeah.
Be a bit sort of messy and choppy.
It feels a bit more light on the... Sometimes I feel like my hair is kind of weighing itself down because
yeah,
it's so heavy
yeah.
and curly.
And you've just got this big chunk at the back.
Yeah.
Because your hairline's so much lower at the back than the front.
Exactly.
You think about how much further you have to grow that down to get a longer shape.
Yeah.
So yeah, but also bearing in mind that we want this haircut to last as long as possible as
yeah.
well. So yeah.
Exciting.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to be the only one to have cut your hair then.
You know what? I don't trust hairdressers.
Oh.
But I do trust you.
So I was going to say, does that include me?
No, I do trust you. Also because you know my hair short and you know my hair long.
Yeah.
And then also you're an artist. So I feel like you have sort of an extra vision than
yeah.
most hairdressers do. Especially I think with curly hair, that's where the fear started.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
there have been many people when I was younger who just didn't know how to deal with curly hair. And
the problem is you get people tend to just cut it the same.
Yeah.
Unless they've been sort of told otherwise, and you have to treat it totally differently.
Yeah.
And I was scared of it at first because when you train, you're not sort of taught how to cut it.
Really?
Yeah, there's no sort of curly hair module.
Huh.
So it's only once you've trained and you start doing curly hair and it doesn't go quite as well, and you have to sort of.
It's trial and error.
A little bit. And, and also, just there's a few basic rules that you have to get your head around that make that are different
yeah.
to. It's a different approach, and once you've got those in, then it's really fun. But there is always a little bit of trial and error with curly hair because you never really know
what it's going to do.
What it's going to do, you know.
Yeah.
And I have cut your hair before, but I haven't cut it when it's been long before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a certain amount of just we call it cutting it from wet to dry.
Yeah.
So you'll start. Normally, we'll always cut hair when it's wet. Curly hair, you want to let it dry off and look at it and just see what it's do you learn to embrace it. It's really fun. So it was a year ago we cut your hair, and that must have been, we'd actually started talking about your exhibition here.
Yeah, I think
before
so.
Before then, even. I think it must have been 2 years since we...
You know what? It might have been.
Well,
because
it was, I saw your work at...
Goldsmith?
Sunday.
Sunday.
So it was a bit after the show.
Yeah.
So that would have been 2 years ago in October, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it probably took us a few months to meet, but I reckon, yeah, we probably met 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I think since then, I mean, things have happened, of course, as well. Like, it took us a while to kind of understand when we could do the show and also in your new space.
Yeah, and also doing it right, wasn't it? It was like, do we want to do it in the old one or this one? And, you know, I really respected you came to get your hair cut and see the environment, you know, very thorough sort of research job and, yeah.
Yeah, I think I found that quite important. And then, of course, you moved into this space and then it became even more of an experiential architecture, I guess, to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And even more than I expected when making work and when installing the show as well. I realized there's so much to keep in mind because you have customers here who have to have... a good experience, of course, and they have to move around. They're actual people.
Yeah.
And you have a job to do here as well. So there's so many, it's not like a regular space. You know?
There's a lot of compromises to be made.
So many things to keep in mind,
Yeah, kind of a lot of compromises. But I hope that's what makes it interesting.
Well, that's how the process became really dynamic, of course.
Mm. I mean, this year's been a huge learning curve for us as well. Just, you imagine the size of our old space.
Yeah.
You know, for people who don't know, it was like 5 meters by 2.
Yeah.
Basically a medium-sized wardrobe. Not even really a big wardrobe. Not a big wardrobe. So to go from that to programming in this space where we really have different zones, and it's been a real sort of, steep learning curve for us.
Of course, but I think it's a great transformation, and it's not just something that you adapt to overnight, right? You have to kind of get to know the space in as a hairdresser, but also as an artist, I guess. Both.
And a programmer as well.
And a programmer,
I still feel we've got loads to learn in that regard, in a way.
But you have time, right? I mean, you can stay here indefinitely.
Yeah, we've got a 15-year lease.
Wow.
Some break clauses in it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So talk us through then.
Okay. I guess I started.
Oh, talk us through the exhibition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, where did I start to have the first idea of what to do here? I guess because the main element in my practice is video and video installation.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see how I could create an installation that would just pop, that would use several instances of the space or several elements of the space where you could kind of find elements of the work. Am I making sense by saying
zones.
This?
The different zones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. That's how I started, because I thought, oh, there is a natural flow to how
mm-hmm.
people move
yeah.
around in this space anyway, so try and make use of that. I just done...
Because we spoke a little bit about the sort of, for want of a better word, customer journey, didn't
yeah.
we? You know, the client
yeah, we did.
Sort of journey or their pathway through the... space,
yeah.
That seems quite important to you.
Yeah, I thought, why not use like several, zones, I guess, where people are not just sitting down and looking at a work, but they can move around and maybe see work. So I think I started with this idea of maybe doing something in the roof light, But then we realized, oh, people can't look up the entire time because they have to have their haircuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I was thinking about doing something with sound, but yeah, of course you can't have to have like open sound here all the time because, well, this you would get crazy, and staff would get crazy, and I think even for customers it would be. So there was a lot to really assess for me, and I think it was through my show at the Sabludovic where I thought, oh, actually, I'd like to extend this project into a longer narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I introduce that a little bit? Because
yeah,
otherwise no one knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm showing a second chapter to the work Plague. And Plague is, in very brief, it is set in a domestic space in a quite a surreal dark, dark as in grim
mm-hmm.
space where there's a housewife who's confronted with a pest. In the first show, it's a housefly. And in this show, the housewife is confronted with a mosquito who is her housemate in the house, but that's not going too well. And I think in the work in general, I'm trying to just create parallels between ecological and mental collapse. So you could say that it sounds a little bit absurd, but I think most of my work is absurd, and somehow there's a little bit of truth in there as well.
And humor as well.
And humor.
Yeah.
Definitely humor. Sometimes I forget that because it's such an it's kind of the backbone of everything.
Just comes naturally, you know.
I think when you deal with complex subjects, in this case, ecological collapse, psychological breakdown, and trying to create parallels in between them, I think the only way to do that without it being too didactic or too grim is to use humor to kind of, you know, not force it down someone's throat, but kind of just
it's a way to process the world, isn't it? I think
yeah.
Talk about it, you know, it's
yeah,
it's very natural.
Well, you can still take
instinct,
something very
yeah.
serious and
exactly,
still
yeah.
and laugh, and there's different types of laughter
it
as well.
It makes it okay once you're sort of laughing at it and sharing, you realize it's a very common, you know, experience, I think.
Yes,
yeah, there's a few TV shows. Oh god, what's the one with Nish Kumar? Do you watch that?
Oh no.
The news show?
I don't know.
Oh, my brain's gone dead.
Tell me, what kind of show is it?
It's a Nish Kumar laughing at the news show, you know. So he's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of take a few stories from the news and laugh at it.
Is it a bit like The Daily Show?
It's a bit like
that. Like
it's
mocking
it.
But it's based on a
website.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Well, but that, you know, if you're feeling a bit lonely
mm-hmm.
and like you're on your own and is the world going crazy, you
mm-hmm.
watch this and it makes you feel okay about all these
yeah.
very turbulent times we're living in, because you realise you're not on your own and other people are questioning this. And I think it's a very, yeah, humour is a really natural way to share and process, like you say, to not be, to let people have time with issues without sort of just shutting down, like
yeah.
say being too preachy.
Yeah,
it.
I think being too preachy in artwork, it doesn't work.
No.
Then
and
it's
I
not
think
an artwork.
Being
then
funny
it's
in art is quite hard
yeah.
as well. You
yeah.
Know,
well,
strike that balance very well.
I guess there's a difference in trying to be funny and trying to show how absurd things are, and then kind of humor comes out of it anyway.
Yeah.
Like trying too hard to be funny doesn't work.
No.
And I think the more serious you take it, the funnier it's going to be anyway. I don't know how to explain that. I really don't know. I can't explain how I got to the point where the mosquito in the film is becoming a fitness instructor. And that's why, I mean, doing this podcast is really great to kind of talk things through, but I think people should see the work because there's a certain visual element to it, the way it's edited, the way certain things happen. I can't explain it in words because that's why it's an artwork.
Otherwise, why would you make it?
Yeah.
And will people be able to see it online anywhere if they're listening?
I think in due time I might put it online, but usually when video work is showing somewhere in an actual space, I'm trying to not show it online.
Yeah.
Because
I guess we're taking it down someday. Though we've been.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry that we're doing the recording the podcast at the end of the show.
Yeah. It's nice to have reflection, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, you started off at the Zab Ladovich collection, 176 Gallery, with Fly.
Yep.
On video, and then you thought that had not quite resolved it.
Yeah, I felt like there was a different chapter where the housewife
not quite solved climate change.
She had not solved it.
No.
She is not. She doesn't feel guilty enough yet. I think I felt like having her encounter a new pest might reset the entire story, because you could question in both videos, like what she's experiencing in the video. Is it really happening, or is it in her head?
Yeah.
Is it in her house? What is her house? Does it even represent her house, or is it her psyche, or is it more like a symbol for how we treat the world, how we treat the earth, I might say.
Yeah.
So trying to interlink these concepts of the habitat, from very large, the earth, to very small, to our own psyche, where we feel the most or the least at home, I guess.
Yeah, once we've given people a sort of a way in, they've really responded to it well.
Yeah. I've
been saying it's an allegory about humankind's relationship with nature.
Yeah.
You know, told through the story of the mosquito and the housewife, and what's the natural environment and what's the pest.
Yeah,
I think these are, I mean, it's a stressful time to be alive at the moment, isn't
yes.
it? Not even, just even disregarding the sort of political nonsense that's been happening recently, but all this natural stuff, I mean, it's
well,
really
it's connected, isn't it?
It's really important.
It's not separate.
You know, it's a very big, I've spent a lot of time talking about it, you know, because it's something I feel very strongly about.
Mm-hmm. I think you actually put it really nicely that it's an allegory of our relationship to the natural world. I think it's... Thank you.
Ah.
Thank you for such a nice definition.
You can have that.
I like the word allegory as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's it sounds like the right word to me.
Yeah.
So we've got the video. Let's go through the show. So we've got the video in our sort of second waiting area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of needs to be discovered, doesn't it? It's been quite nice.
Yeah, I really wondered how you get people there, because you have the sofa in the beginning, of course, and I guess people like to sit on the sofa, so maybe they don't want to come off.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, if people are waiting, then we'll direct them to go and see the video first.
Yeah.
For people just listening, we've got the sofa near the front door, and then we've got the coming a bit further, we've got the cutting area, exhibition space, and then going deeper into the space, we've got our backwash and a shelf dividing the space with magazines and a bench, and that's where we decided to put the video on display. So we were talking about having a few monitors around the place, and in various reasons it ended up not
not working
in that way, not working.
Yeah. So then the best alternative in that sense was to show drawings,
mm-hmm.
which is a very new.
Because we were quite up for that in the beginning. You weren't so keen, were you? Originally?
Yeah, because that's not how I show my work usually.
Mm.
So I think it's a personal sort of awkwardness to just get over it and just show.
So were these made just for you?
What do you mean?
The drawings.
For here?
For you, or were these made with the idea of showing them?
Ah, like that.
Yeah.
I don't make them with that in mind, actually. I make them because it's a very immediate method to get some ideas out or to reach ideas that I can't really grasp.
Yeah.
And I can't really explain.
That's a way to think.
It's a way of visually thinking out loud.
Yeah.
And it takes me a long time to make a video because there's so many different processes involved, like handmade stop motion and green screen animation, digital animation. Then there's the whole performance element where, you know, I'm making the costumes and the props for the housewife and for the mosquito, and then I have to play them as well in front of the green screen or in a set.
I mean, people who know about video and the process have been blown away by it.
Because they see all the different
elements. They know
elements,
how hard
it
is, yeah. So we've got the video sort of in the middle of the space, and then in the main exhibition space we have 10 drawings sort of laid out in a sort of storyboard format.
Yeah, I think you can see them like that. I don't think there is a particular beginning and end because all of my videos are also non-linear and looping.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like it when someone just encounters the video somewhere, you know, and just gets almost like stuck in it. And with the drawings, it's kind of the same way. You can start anywhere and kind of create the links in between yourself. It demands a bit more from the viewer, I guess, in that sense.
And how do you feel then, seeing them up on the wall now and sat here in the chair, knowing that this wasn't the sort of initial idea?
Yeah, I feel really good about it.
Yeah?
I think it's, for me, it's really new. It's, in the way, it's the most traditional way I've ever shown my work.
Yeah, nice.
But depending on how you'd traditional, I guess, because for me it's not traditional. See what I mean? So for me it's really new to actually show drawings in their own with their own relevance.
Yeah, with the video. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm actually quite happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, even like the horizontal lines of the walls, they kind of help for it to make it like a sequence.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why it made me think of the time.
Yeah.
Because they're like the way they're laid out in a sort of straight line sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And is that it for the series now, do you think?
I feel like maybe this video chapter can have a little bit, like I have to maybe add one more scene to it.
Yeah.
I feel. And I don't know how it happened, but there's suddenly a new character coming into the narrative. And it's, I can't explain it really well, but the character is basically the Earth. So it's not a pest this time.
Oh.
There was supposed to be a third pest, a moth, like a clothes moth.
Yeah.
But I haven't figured out its existential dread yet. So the first in line is a new character that's peering into the windows of the domestic space of the house of the housewife. And that's it's a weeping Earth. It's basically breaking up with humankind.
Oh.
So it's a breakup story where the Earth is basically saying, you know what, you don't treat me right. I deserve so much better. And this is never going to work for us. And it's taking all of these sort of stereotypical, I guess you call them tropes of romantic comedy narratives, you know, so...
you're making a rom-com.
Kind of.
Yeah.
about ecological collapse. Oh my god, people will think I'm crazy. I am, but you know.
Have you been watching lots of rom-coms for research? Or are you a fan of them anyway?
You know what? When I'm hungover on a Sunday, I don't mind. But it's not something I really... It's not my first go-to genre.
Yeah.
But I did look at like 90s rom-coms and like their scripts and see if I could kind of lift some bits out of the scripts to see. Yeah.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's going yet, but after my fabulous haircut, I'm going to the studio and then create a new mask for the Earth character. And I think maybe film some stuff where the Earth is like drinking and smoking too much and basically not taking care of itself because it needs to learn how to self-care again.
Yeah.
Because it's been treating so horribly by us. Something like that.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm giving away the entire thing and I don't even know if it's going to happen. It's obvious that I don't work with a completely thought out script. And
yeah, you're sort of thinking through doing, aren't you?
I think I've learned how to do that more and more and to just kind of let go of expectation and not try to force the process too much. I think the best ideas kind of arise.
Do you ever meditate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Help?
Yeah. David Lynch talks about that. He's a big
transcendental meditation.
Guy, isn't he? Yeah,
I tried that, but
he's big into that as a way to let the ideas.
Yeah.
It's about creating space for them to come. I find, isn't it?
I think that's what it is. For me, yoga is more helpful in that manner because it's more physical, and I tend to get in my head a lot.
Yeah.
So meditation sometimes is just terror.
Ted Hughes was big into his fishing.
Fishing?
Fishing, yeah. Because he found that that was the sort of just enough activity to occupy the... Is it the left-hand side? The right-hand side of the brain, sort of logic and reason side, so let the other side sort of wander free. For me, it's walking.
Yes.
If I've got to come up with an idea, I go for a walk.
Walking is... one of the best things.
Yeah. I think it's one of my favourite things. It's up there with breathing.
I'm reading this amazing trilogy of Margaret Atwood at the moment.
Oh, nice. Yeah, which one is it?
It's the first book is called Oryx and Crake. Second one is The Year of the Flood. The third is Mad Adam, I think. And I think the Mad Adam, it's called the Mad Adam Trilogy.
Yeah.
And it's set in a sort of a future society. It's quite sci-fi, where everything in society is completely designed, even more so than what we're used to already. And I can't even explain it, I think. Genetic editing and genetic or DNA experiments have gone so far that different species are spliced together and a new sort of humankind is created by this sort of bioscience hacking group. But now it sounds very like science heavy and it's not.
Yeah.
It's really more like a socio-political story.
Mm-hmm.
Like Margaret Atwood is, you know, she's the best at kind of describing socio-political issues from a personal point of view and like taking into account different perspectives. So she doesn't pick one side, which I think is the best quality of her writing. Which I think is one of my strategies in making my work as well. You know, don't pick a side.
Yeah.
Just show a story from multiple perspectives in order to let the viewer decide their own position.
Yeah.
I guess. Leave space. And yeah, I would really recommend this book. I'm now on the second book.
Yeah, I like a bit of sci-fi.
Yeah, but it's sci-fi where it's not... it's not Star Trek-y, you know? I mean, I don't mind Star Trek. Anything that is very fantasy-based, I kind of like. But as long as it's also critical. This is just...
Yeah, I've never read any Margaret Atwood.
Handmaid's Tale?
Never read it.
Oh, that is a crime.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It is a crime.
I saw the TV show.
She's written now the sequel to the book.
Yeah.
I got it, but I haven't read it yet because I first have to do the other one. Have you seen the series though?
Yes, I saw the series. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's different than the book, obviously. It's a bit more dragged out.
The series is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The book is... I was going to say more simple, but it's not more simple. It's... just a shorter time frame, and
because the book ends at the end of the first season, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah,
and when she wrote it, it was really sci-fi, of course, but now
it's so strange.
It's actually not that hard to imagine.
No.
I kind of want to read that interview that's there.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that lying around on the Gentlewoman
magazine
here.
Gentlewoman magazine, yeah. Well, I should, if you got time.
Yeah. Oh, my head feels so much lighter already.
It's good in there, yeah.
Is there... there's a lot of hair already gone, huh? Let
yeah.
me see on the floor. Oh!
Well, I mean, look at the back. There's a lot.
Wow!
Of
Is it curling? Does it?
Yeah.
Does it wanna? Okay.
Nice. I'm just wondering about the back. I'm gonna show you it and see.
Oh, we're gonna cheat.
It's kind of there, but I
just
need to decide about the back.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that long? Is that okay there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you? Because you know how much that's gonna curl. I don't know if you want to take that any shorter at the back.
I don't. I wonder if it's really going to curl because this is already quite short.
Yeah.
And if it's too short, it doesn't want to curl anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So leave it as it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's curling nicely. But as I said, it's still this. It's like this area I haven't touched because actually
yeah.
that you need to
yeah.
grow longer.
Yes.
So probably next time you come to get it cut, I would cut the back shorter again and let that grow a bit.
Yes.
As you can see, you've got.
The only thing I wonder if this now is, if it is shorter, it might go up in the
bit rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might work better, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's personal choice.
Because maybe now this is gonna just stay like this, because
yeah.
it's not, you know, it might just do, floop, that. What do you think?
I think you know better
what it's going to do.
What it's
going
to do.
Yeah. Let me see. Can I do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can feel. I think people with curly hair really have their own like
way
of dealing with their hair and trying to understand.
When to dry it, I'm going to spray it down and
yeah, let's see
yeah.
what it does. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
You see what I mean, right? Like.
But that's why I wonder maybe if you want that a little bit shorter.
Maybe
yeah.
you're right.
Yeah, and then that will kick a little bit, but
yeah.
actually it's giving it a bit more.
But it will
body.
Come up into the
exactly. It's
yes.
giving the top a bit more sort of
yes.
body. Yeah, so
yep.
just a little bit more off of that.
Yep.
Yeah, and then just detail around the front.
Detail.
Nicely, nice.
Detail around the front. It's jargon, isn't it?
Detail. yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every industry's got its jargon, isn't it?
It does.
You need some way of describing what you're doing.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of terminology to learn.
Just like in art. But I think people who can talk about their work without using the jargon, artists, I think that's better.
Yeah. I mean,
if you need all the fancy words, then...
That's what I'm trying to do with the podcast, really.
Yeah.
You know, just... Yeah, like I said before we turn the mic on, I don't really prepare. We just...
Mm-hmm.
I've been living with your work for two months.
Yes. Do you hate it now?
No, we're going to miss it now with our little physical song playing in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun to do. I knew I wanted to sort of create a cover of a cheesy 80s song, right?
Yeah.
Because the mosquito in the film becomes a sort of fitness aerobic
instructor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, it would be so funny to kind of do this Let's Get Physical song and create a cover of it. But that's what I collaborated with this musician for that.
Oh,
just
right.
Like with the
you
voice of the mosquito
that, yeah.
And the house light. They're rapping, right?
Yeah.
So they're basically telling the story in a form of rhyme. And I worked together with this musician who is a rapper.
Yeah.
Because I cannot do that by myself. That's not one of my skills. Yeah, and he's really great. I just sent him all my notes. So I sent him like a character description and the global story of the film, and this is when I haven't even edited anything.
Yeah.
So I can't show him anything. He just has to kind of trust my notes, and I trust him, and then he kind of runs with it.
Yeah.
And that works really, really well.
So nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been working with him for a while then?
No, the first time was with the housefly.
Yeah.
And it just worked. I feel like he understands my cheesy type of humor. And he understands them quite into word puns.
Yeah.
And then when I also asked him to do the cover song of Let's Get Physical, it was no struggle for him. Just did it.
And how important is collaborating with other people?
Well, I never do it, actually.
It's the first time.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
In this way, yes. I have collaborated before when I was still working with different hats on, let's call it that. So
yeah.
I used to run a residency program in the Netherlands, and I used to curate some shows and stuff like that. But then you kind of work in a team. And I think within my own artistic art practice, I never really understood how I could collaborate with someone else, because I'm really bad at explaining what I'm trying to do while I'm in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Or even after I'm done with it. I feel like it's just hard to talk about your own work. But in this case, I just reached the point where I thought, yeah, I can't do this by myself.
Yeah.
And I know I want to use rhyme, and I want to use rap somehow. I want to have the housefly and the mosquito rap. This is definitely not something I can teach myself. So I reached out to him, and he was just amazing and very playful. And normally he writes hip hop songs, you know, which are a little bit more rough. So I asked him if he could like do a little voice like Quasimodo does. Do you know Quasimodo?
Yeah.
Yeah,
90s.
Yeah. And he just picked it up and ran with it, and it was just great. And I really want to work with him again. I like using musical type of influences.
Well, good it worked out. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the Curl Cream.
Yes.
And this does actually make your hair a little bit curlier. It tightens the bonds ever so slightly in the hair.
Mm.
So it will be lovely and curly.
What do you mean with bonds?
The bonds are like the links inside your hair.
Oh.
So you give it a structure.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of like, it's all natural, but it sort of tightens them a bit. So it makes your hair, encourages it to go its curliest.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the cutting done. I'm going to dry it off a little bit for you.
Okay.
And then we'll have a look.
Do you dry it in this big
diffuser?
Yeah,
I mean, what works best with your hair? You don't want to just do it naturally.
I never do that because I don't have it. But when I'm in a hotel or something, I try it and I'm always like just waiting. Like, I don't
that's
even
all you
know.
Have to do.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Just waiting
just
with your hair in the
yeah.
You know what? It already feels like I've kind of lifted off a hat from my head.
Oh.
Like it's lighter, you know?
Yeah. Hey. That's good.
It's funny because I usually drive with my head down.
You can do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do the back third.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, this chair behind. Thank you. It's going to make it go really big. You're up for that.
This is okay, I think.
You ready for it?
I'm afraid.
It's going to be 80s. You're going to look like.
Oh, yeah. It's going to go like poof.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't know. Do you? This is your.
Yeah. I'll do the back first and then
okay.
We'll do it upside down.
Wait, I'll hold the thing.
You can put your hand on that.
Cool.
Okay, right. So what we do, spin your chair around.
Mm-hmm.
Lower it. So if you put your hands on your knees, that will sort of support your weight, and then you can, is that comfy?
Let's see if I can still have the things in my head.
Just let me know. Flip it over.
Does it work?
Yeah. Which way do you tend to push it to?
The middle.
Middle?
Yeah.
I'm going to push it
or
to the,
to the front, actually.
I'm going to push it to the side.
Yeah? Sometimes I do it to the front because it kind of just goes here.
Yeah.
My forehead is so long that, you know, it doesn't really...
Yeah, that's better, actually. A bit forward is better.
It's nice, huh?
I want to get a bit of...
Usually at home I just do this the entire morning, just like that.
The more you touch it, the frizzier it goes.
Oh yeah. No touching.
The best thing to do is, it's like cooking rice, the best thing to do is...
Leave it.
Leave it.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't touch it.
Put it in the dryer if you're using one.
Yeah.
And then be patient.
It's not one of my personality traits, I must say.
Voila.
Oh yeah. Yeah, here it doesn't want to curl, maybe. What? How do I do that?
This one.
Yeah, here.
I mean, that we would have to go a bit shorter.
For it to curl more.
Yeah, I think so. It's actually quite long.
That is quite long, isn't it?
Like I took about that. It's about an inch and a half came off this crown area here.
Yeah.
Because what I didn't take any off is this area.
Yeah.
This area still needs to grow.
Yeah.
So to balance that, I took a bit off here. But this is actually quite long there.
That could maybe be shorter. Yeah.
So I could cut into that to make that a bit shorter, and that would give that a bit more life.
Yeah.
But and then you just means you're growing it longer with layers, you know?
Yeah.
So that's fine.
No, I like that to be a bit shorter
if
here.
If I go into the crown a bit shorter, leave that where it is.
Yeah.
And the back's okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because now it's just nicely going in with the rest.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
kind
I think
it looks longer than it did before. You know,
somehow,
because you've
yeah.
got a bit more of a longer shape.
Yeah.
Rather than a grown out short one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I left it too long. I left
so
it way
I'll
too long.
Let's go through that crown a little
bit
now, and then we'll be good. So, what have we got any other shows coming up?
Yeah. First one opening is in Italy, in Bologna, northern Italy, where I am showing an existing work, Doing Lucy, that features fictional reconstructions of early ancestor Lucy. So basically, I don't know if you, do you know about Lucy or you don't?
Yeah,
yeah, so Lucy is like this almost famous paleontological specimen, and she was found in the 70s, and then she was kind of seen as the missing link in human evolution.
Oh,
still a little bit of ape and almost human, which is kind of a misleading thought because evolution doesn't work like that, you know, it's not a linear thing. But so she's the main character in that film. I realized that in all my recent work, the main characters are animals that expose like the contradictions in human behavior.
Mm.
Yeah, something that's just happened. And this process of anthropomorphism as well is definitely also in there.
So you're going to be animating this?
Well, this is it's an existing work. So I'm just going to show that as an installation there. And these reconstructions are, again, you know, me as a performer, then a stop motion puppet and a digital version.
Mm-hmm.
So these three different characters kind of also have different jobs, I guess, in the narrative, different roles in the narrative. And I'm after the show in Italy, I'm going to do a show with the Science Gallery here in London. Have you been yet? It's this new museum in London Bridge.
Oh, I've been past it. Yeah, it's near the Shard, isn't it?
Yes, next to it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Big space.
Huge space, but it's going to be a group show, and then I'm going to do a commission for them, which is resulting into a performance, which
you've done that before.
No, but I think it's gonna be definitely related to my video work, or maybe I'll even manipulate into it becoming a video or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe the performance can be one of the scenes in the video that comes out.
Yes.
But the amazing thing about this commission is that it creates the opportunity to work together with scientists. So I'm talking to people who are in sociology and bioscience, and this is also why I'm reading the Margaret Atwood book, by the way.
And you know what that leads on to?
Well,
the Wellcome Foundation.
Let's see.
Then you can apply for some money from the Wellcome Foundation.
Let's see. Yeah,
Holy
it's
Grail.
Well, it would be amazing, because I think lots of my work is dealing with this, like you said before as well, this nature-culture relationship, and and science
yeah,
often
seems
does
like a natural
come in as well.
So there we
okay.
go.
Okay.
So a bit more life on top now.
Yes, just has to
see
dry a bit,
sort
huh?
Curled up a bit.
Oh, it is so much better, yeah. Now
yeah,
it does want to curl
a bit
there.
More lively there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wait. Thank you. I feel so much lighter already.
Good. That was really good. Brilliant.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it time to take off these?
Time to take them off now.
These, bye, people.
Bye.
Well, I never. Very interesting. Thanks for listening to the DK UK podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. I would also like to thank Arts Council England for their continued support of DK UK, Open School East for helping me get the recordings off the ground, and Joey Four for this great music you can hear underneath. For more information about DK UK, you can check out the website, which is www.dkuk.biz. And as I said, any likes, shares, ratings on the iTunes store, friends to tell about through social media would be greatly appreciated. And if you're in Peckham, come and get a haircut and have your own chat. Thanks a lot. Bye.